Oh my, the music has been such a blessing today. The congregational singing, the choir, that special. Maybe a couple weeks ago, Joe Bishop said, I'm excited about God. I just want to give it, he said, I want to brag on him. And he said, kind of be careful what you wish for, because right after that, someone called him and said, hey, would you come and give a testimony? He said, but that's what I wanted. I wanted to brag on God. And really, I think years ago we used to talk about, we joked about a bragamony, when you'd stand up and you'd brag about all the good things going on in your life. I think those, but what he did was the right type of bragamony. Well, you brag about how good God is in your life. That was a blessing. I think a lot of you can say John 3:16. Let's try to quote that together right now. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God in heaven valued us enough to spend heaven's greatest treasure on us. It's wonderful. On the one hand, you think, wow, what heaven was willing to spend for me. But really, when you think of worth, what is something worth? Really, to some degree, something is worth what someone else is willing to pay for it. That's one of the ways we determine worth, what someone is willing to pay for it. That verse is exciting because it's how much God valued us. But it's a worth that God placed on us because of how much heaven was willing to pay for us. Kind of puts this verse in perspective, Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Puts that in perspective. So, I mean, there you are. You have the opportunity. You invest your life savings in some new investment, and it just shoots up, and you become so wealthy that you're able to buy everything. Everything. Just, it's all yours. Everything is yours. But then you die, and you go off into a Christless eternity. Was that worth anything? No. No, it wasn't. Your soul, the Bible says, is more precious than the whole world. And heaven sent its greatest treasure. The question for today is, what am I worth? What am I worth? A father said to his daughter, you graduated with honors, and now I have a gift for you. She's all excited. And he says, It's a car that I bought for you many years ago. Of course, that gets scary right there, right? You bought it many years ago. How about like yesterday? You bought it new. Anyway, so she's a little nervous, as you can imagine. I bought it for you many years ago. And she's like, well, thanks, Dad. I got this antique car, this Model T that I'll be driving around. Appreciate it. You know. But he says, I want you to take it to don't sell it to him, but take it to the used car lot and ask him what they would give you for it. So she goes and comes back and says, Dad, they offered me $1,500. They said the years have, there's some wear and tear on the vehicle. It's worn through the years some, and $1,500, wow, Dad. And he goes, okay, I'm not done. Take it to the pawn shop and see what they would offer you for it. After a while, she comes back and says, well, Dad, they said it's just an old car. We'll offer you $500 for it. It's getting worse and worse, Dad. And he says, well, now I want you to take it to the car club, the place where they show off their antique vehicles, the automobile club, and see what interest that generates. So she took the car there, and she came back with her eyes really big, saying, Dad, there were several people that wanted to pay me over $100,000 for that car. They said it's an iconic car, a highly sought after car by collectors. I guess it was a Nissan Skyline R34. And he offered her a piece of advice. He said, listen, the right place will value you the right way. If you are not valued where you are, don't be angry with where you are or discouraged. You're simply in the wrong place. Find out where you are valued the right way and go there. Who appreciates you? Who truly sees your real value? And can I tell you that here in church, with this open, your true value is revealed like nowhere else. When you find out what God paid for you, there's no place on this earth where you can enjoy the worth that you truly possess until you find out how much God valued you. This is a place where you want to be at. I want to be in church when the doors are open until I die, until God calls me home. This is the place where I find out how much heaven valued me, and I want to pay heaven back. I want to be faithful to God. I want to do all that I can to honor the Lord. The question is, were these people trying to scam this girl, or did they truly just not know what it was valued at? This world, there are people out there that will scam. They'll try to play with you, and they'll try to scam, and they'll try to mess with the value of your life. And then there are others that just don't know. Maybe they've gone to school, and they found out that we're just products of evolution. How valuable can I be when I just, you know, however long ago my ancestors crawled out of some swamp? How much value can I possibly? Well, we know that's not true. The Bible, we open God's word, and we find out that God carefully formed Adam with his hands out of the dust of the earth and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And from that is why you're sitting here today. Oh, we're valuable to God. Church, and in God's word, this is where we find our true worth. And just like that father said, find the place that values you, that truly understands your value, and stay there. Be there. Go there. Make it a part of your future. And oh, in God's word and in God's house, this is a very special, special place to learn our true value. When you figure out how much heaven spent to purchase your souls, you realize for the first time that no one has ever valued you as much as Jesus and his loving Father. Who was it that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son? We just quoted it. God so loved the world. The Father so loved the world. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Where are we the most valued? Where is the place where my true value is recognized? The question, though, is sometimes we react. We don't know what to do with being valued the right way. So I want to talk about that today some. Sometimes you find out the value that's on you, and we don't know how to react to that. I want to talk about that a little bit today, too. But if you want to value others while you're down here, and that's a part of what we're supposed to be doing, the great commandment, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might, and the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot value other people until you understand how God values you. When you get close to him and understand his value system, then you can begin to value people around you. Of course, a while back, we had the cry, Black Lives Matter. And they absolutely do. Some had seen, boy, there are some parts of our community that are not being valued. And they didn't know what to do with that. Some used it as an opportunity to become obscenely rich. Others wanted to use it as a club. I'm going to use this to, let me find the people that aren't valuing others like they should and beat them over the head with this. Oh, then other people cried out, Blue Lives Matter. And then the war was on, right? Police lives matter. And police aren't perfect, but I'm glad there are police. I'm glad when I'm in trouble, I have someone that I can call. I'm glad that on the freeways, they're keeping people sane. The same freeways that my wife drives on. The same freeway I drive on. If somebody's not being sane on the freeway and they run over me, I'm bigger than my wife, but I die just as easily when a Mack truck hits me. I'm glad there are police out there keeping the people sane as much as they can. Like they missed somebody the other day. Maybe you bus drivers. Praise the Lord for you bus drivers. Keeping watch over your flock by day, right? As you're driving along, and praise God for his protection. And then there were others that said, all lives matter. And that took away the opportunity to go pound somebody for not valuing others like they should. And Pastor Olson, boy, he very wisely, he just grabbed the Bible and he wrote this little pamphlet that says, hey, you matter. Your life matters. You matter. When you figure out why you matter, how you matter, and you get blown away by how much heaven values you, then and only then will you be able to start valuing your fellow man. Every one of them. Loving them. Valuing them. And it isn't just that we are valued. It's what we should do because we are so highly valued. So what am I worth? I'm going to give you several points. I have a little bit of time. That's wonderful. Let's pray, and then we'll get into some of these truths. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, today we ask the question, what am I worth? What am I worth? And Lord, I pray that that wouldn't fill us with pride, but it would instead humble us by how much heaven valued me. And I pray that because heaven valued me, because you valued me, I pray that that would help me value you. Instead of me saying, well, that's two of us. You value me and so do I. Instead, Lord, I pray that we'd be blown away by how much heaven valued us and that would cause us to say, I'm going to value my God up in heaven, the Lord Jesus, his word, his house, in a very special way as a result. I do ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. What am I worth? I think I may have seen snippets of it, but I haven't sat through an entire one of these shows. In the 1970s, there was a show in the UK called the Antiques Roadshow. And then the American version came out in 1997 and quickly became the most popular show on PBS. I'm not sure if that is saying much. People would bring their old items wondering what they were worth. And of course, aren't those fun? They get you wondering, what do I have in the basement that maybe is worth, you know, a gazillion dollars? A girl, Claire Beckman, she was at a garage sale, saw this little mahogany table, and she goes, well, that's, she didn't know anything about it. She said, well, that's kind of fun. Got some character to it, or as the ladies say, had good bones. And she talked the owner down from $30 to $25 and took it home. But I guess the Antiques Roadshow was in her neck of the woods. And so she brought it, and the appraiser was looking at the bottom and discovered a nearly faded label showing the table was crafted by John Seymour and Sons of Boston, known for his fine furniture in the 1700s. The appraiser was a little off when he appraised the piece at $250,000, $250,000, because it sold at Sotheby's for over twice that, $541,500. She brought that little table in and said, what is this worth? And the appraiser told her. Ted Koontz of Arizona, he had had a Navajo blanket just draped across the foot of his bed growing up. And then for years after that, it was just over one of the chairs in his house. He brought it to the Antiques Roadshow, and he said, this blanket was given to the foster father of my grandma by the legendary frontiersman Kit Carson. It was recognized by the appraiser as a blanket that would have been made for a Ute chief between 1840 and 1860 and was among the first of its kind. It had been on Kuntz's bed for years. So I'm not sure what he made for it when he did sell it. A private investor bought it and donated it to a museum. But whatever the amount was, they were able to pay off their house, help several friends and relatives, and put a chunk into retirement. He just brought it in and said, hey, what's this worth? What's this worth? In 2004, the Antiques Roadshow was in St. Paul, Minnesota. A man brought in a pocket watch that had been handed down from father to son for three generations. The watch, still in working order, had a front-faced split chronogram, as well as a rear-faced perpetual calendar that even accounted for leap year. Which, that blew me away. The owner had it appraised 15 years previous, and that guy said, I think it's worth six grand. The appraiser laughed at the Antiques Roadshow, and gave it a value of a $250,000. But he was quite a bit off. This one-of-a-kind Patek Philippe sold in 2006 at another auction at Sotheby's for $1,541,212. So they brought these things to these appraisers and said, what is this worth? And these were the experts. And of course, they're giving their initial opinion. There was further investigation that was done in the case of this pocket watch. But I tell you, here we are today. You're here today. And the appraiser is here today. The heavenly appraiser. And you say, what am I worth? And God's going to take a look at you. He knows everything about you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your pains. He knows everything about you. And today we're going to answer that question. What am I? We've already begun to answer it, haven't we? You are worth the exchange of heaven's greatest treasure. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came and died for you. So first, what is the reality of your worth? The reality of your worth. The birds, sometimes we go outside and hear them just enjoying the day, don't we? Does it ever irritate you? You listen to them just singing, enjoying the... You have a lot on your mind. Maybe you're grumpy. Maybe you're distressed. And you think, oh, those birds. It would be so nice to have that simple life that they have. They haven't the foggiest idea of the pain and distress in my life. What are they doing being so happy? They just have no idea. Well, I don't know. Can you hear them for a moment just answer back and preach at you for just a moment? It is you who should learn from me. My life is not perfect, but I can sing because there is a God who looks after me. Oh, and that same God looks after you and values you more than me. Shouldn't you be the one singing and brightening my day? Because that's true. Oh boy, the birds are singing. But shouldn't it be you singing? Because you have a God that values you more than many sparrows. The Bible says that, Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? So that little sparrow out there, right? He's like, I'm half a farthing. That's my worth. That's my price. Of course, that's man's price. That's man's price. He values them differently, doesn't he? But I'm half a farthing. That's the going rate for me. Half a farthing. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Are ye not more valuable than many sparrows? Listen to how much God values you. Part of the Romans Road there in Romans 5, 8. Many of you have learned that. I'll back up just a little bit. Matthew 5, 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, I mean, if it was a wonderful person, you might say, oh, I suppose I could consider giving my life for that wonderful person, but it wasn't even a wonderful person. It was a vile sinner like you and I that God exchanged his son in place of. I heard this illustration one time, and it was, if you're kind of right here, and there's a train coming toward you, and you're at this switch because the rails split off on either side, and the train's coming right toward you, and you've got the switch. You could go this way and send the train this way. You could move the switch this way, send the train this way. But to your right, there's one of your children bound to the tracks. Well, I wonder, well, again, it's the one you like. And on this side, you look, and there bound to the track is the guy that cured cancer. And you're like, oh, and he didn't want a dime for it. He goes, no, I don't want a dime for my discovery. I just want people to be helped. And you're like, oh, that's tough. That's tough. And then hopefully you wake up. Hopefully it's just a dream and you wake up and, oh, all right. Then they said, well, let's change the scenario. You look to your right and there's the child you like. And to the left, there's a criminal. Oh, it's the worst criminal that they could dig out of whatever prison system in this world. In fact, you wouldn't even want to begin to go through how vile and stomach-turning the things he's guilty of. And you're at the switch. Your precious child, that person that just has it out for humanity, has been only kind and unkind and murderous and vile. You say, oh, that's not as difficult a choice. But then you switch, and again, you have no choice. You have to turn the train one way or the other. You have no choice. But then you put God the Father here, right? You put God the Father here. And Jesus is there. And you or I are over here. And again, you say, well, I'm not so bad. Well, God begs to differ. He's never failed his Father. He's only been good and faithful. And we're guilty of all sorts of things. Living for ourselves, being proud, lying, cheating, stealing, being unkind, wishing awful things about, doing awful things, thinking awful things. We're guilty. We've been so, we're sinners. And the Bible says that God took that switch, moved it over here, so that train took the life of his son. That is the reality of your worth. That is how precious you are. Secondly, the reactions to your worth. When you get a hold of how, there's a couple different reactions. Somebody that has known the Lord for a while and can say, oh man, the music this morning, it was such a blessing. It reminded me of how good God is to me. That testimony this morning when he said, don't waste your life running after money. Run after the things of God and let him take care of you. Let him seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. And you're like, God put me first when he sent his son to die. I want to spend the rest of my life putting him first. Whether it's my time, my talent, my treasure, I want him to have first place. There are those that because of how heaven has valued us, I want to return the favor. There are those that are close to God and they'll say, man, I'm a jerk. I don't value people the way I should. But when you get away from God, though, how quickly our heart gets cold toward others. Isn't it true? Sometimes instead it's people are jerks. In fact, that preacher told me how valuable I am. I was there Sunday morning. He talked about how, and it's about time other people started to recognize my value. That's not the point of the sermon today, is it? But oh boy, we're excited about how people don't see my worth. People don't see how people are jerks. They don't value me the way they should. The closer you get to God, it switches. I'm kind of a jerk. Boy, Lord, help me. I don't value the people, the way I should. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Now, God values us, but what we do with being valued, people don't know what to do with it sometimes. For instance, a good parent that knows the Lord and sees the value in his children will see that value and want to develop that value and protect that value. And often children will misinterpret this. My parents don't value me. They just hold me back and keep me from what I want. Sometimes we come to church and find out how much heaven values us, and we make the wrong conclusions. What's going on there is that parent truly does value that child. And that child, there's some ignorance there. He's young and doesn't see clearly. There's some sinfulness. Little kids are sinners. I was one. I'm still a sinner, but I was a little sinner in my house. I've got little sinners in my... Well, they're not as little anymore. They're getting to be less little, but they're sinners. Boy, and they're valued in my... But a lot of times, boy, my parents don't value me. They just keep me from what I want. No, friend, it's because we do value you. Young person, you are being valued by precious parents. Let them. You are valuable. The Bible says so. But they recognize that value better than you do. They want to hone that value. They want to protect that value because they know where the value came from. God gave you. He's the one that valued you. He's the one that built all the worth that you have into who you are. And he should have first dibs on everything you have and everything you are. Well, there was Samson, right? In Judges 16, the strongest man ever to live, tearing gates off of city walls and carrying them for miles, killing 1,000 people. But again, his parents, I want her. And his parents, listen, son. There are better things. God wants better things. Why won't you just give me what? You won't value me. Samson, boy, he was so consumed with his personal view of his value. And he would not allow his parents to guide him. He was ended his life blind, grinding in that prison house. He gives us our value. He recognizes our value. And he's worthy of me protecting and giving all of my worth back to him with my life. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Is there any... Samson, where'd you get that strength from? Well, I... Try again. You're wrong already. Well, I... Try again. You're here today. And God values you. He's the one that gave you breath in the first place. Won't you give him everything you are? He's worth it. He's worth it. He loves you and values you. He built the value into you. And there's no one... I tell my children, I don't even come close to loving them the way God does. I don't even come close to loving them the way God does. You live for him. You respond to his love. Let his love constrain you. Let his love guide and motivate you the rest of your life. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That helps us, doesn't it, with Romans 12:1, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Therein, are you saved today? Are you saved? That means he brought you back from, you hath he quickened who were dead. You have spiritual life because of him. Romans 6:13, and there it says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Why would you yield as someone alive from the dead? Because you are alive from the dead. Oh, yield to the one that gave you life. And the last thing, the responsibility of your worth. The responsibility. We owe the one from whom our worth is derived. God recognizes our worth more than anyone else. You want to feel worth? They used to laugh about public school, right? Go to evolution class and find out that you descended from tadpoles. And then your next class will have to be self-esteem class, where you can try to think a little bit more of yourself after they just told you you have next to no worth. No, you get in God's word and you find out you have worth. You have worth. But because God valued you so highly, oh my, we want to honor him with the worth that he built into us. We want to honor him with the value that we have from him. Julia Gunzenhauser was reminding me that Pastor Love used to tell this fun story about this little girl. She had saved up for a set of pearls. And they were fake. They were costume jewelry pearls. And she had saved her money, which made them extra precious. So she had those pearls, and she loved them. It was evident. And after a little bit of time had passed, her father came to her and said, could I have those pearls? And she was horrified. No, I value these pearls. They're my precious pearls. Dad, you can't have these. Why? Why would you want my... You're a guy. Were you going to wear them? What? No, it doesn't make sense. And he just left it alone, and he would come back periodically. Hey, can I have those pearls? No, Dad. After a while, hey, can I have those pearls? After a while, her heart softened. And she finally says, Dad, if you really want them, for whatever reason, you can have them. And she handed over those pearls. And his dad smiled and looked at him. And from somewhere, he produced a little box. And he opened up the box, and inside were a genuine set of pearls that he had for her. He didn't need her pearls. He didn't want her pearls. He just wanted to know that he came before her pearls. And he had something better for her. That's your God. Boy, if God wants you to give something to him today, give it to him. Why does he think he wants to know if he comes before that thing, does he? For the rest of your life, you're going to have to answer that question. And that's why we come to church. Because we need to be asked that question over and over again. Does God come first, or that whatever it is in your life that you cherish? Will you surrender your life to him? He's got better things in store. What, maybe a form of entertainment. How many hours do you spend on social media or whatever? Can you take a fast from the goofiness of entertainment? Can you say, Lord, today, no funny videos. No this, no whatever. Lord, I'm going to spend extra time with you. I want to make sure that you come before everything. That dad didn't need those pearls. He just wanted to know that he came before those pearls. The responsibility of your worth. Heaven valued you. Will you value heaven as well? We have worth because heaven deemed it so. We kind of say that the value of something is worth someone is willing to pay, but that's not always true, is it? We go back to that story. The value of that table, it ended up being over $500,000. But the guy didn't know what it was worth when he sold it, did he? Whoever it was at the garage sale. When the lady talked him down, and I hope he doesn't know, that would be like, when the lady talked him down from $30, $30, down to $25. Was that table worth $25 because that's what somebody was worth, willing to pay for it? It was worth far more. The lady that sold it didn't know what it's worth. The lady that bought it didn't know what it's worth. I think about Jesus. How much is Jesus worth? And we certainly can't say whatever someone's willing to pay. What were they willing to pay in the Gospels? There in Matthew 26:15. When Judas said, I'll sell him to you, what are you willing to pay? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, how sad. Is that all he's worth? No. It's heaven's greatest treasure. What is he worth to you? Let his value system on your life affect your value system for what he's worth. Live your life like he's worth everything. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more, I understand his word of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. What am I worth? Well, that's what we looked at today. And as a result of you learning what you were worth to heaven, I hope that heaven's worth a lot more to you.